This week we're looking at the book of Acts. Move on in Acts 8 to the next opportunity. I like to put it that way, an opportunity for Philip. Look at 8 and 26 of Acts. A wonderful opportunity for Philip. And what I like about Philip is he's a man of availability. He's a man that is willing to do as the Lord has given him opportunity. On one hand, he's willing to go to the city of Samaria. On one hand, he's willing, as we're about to look at, to go to this one individual. The Lord placed him right there, and he was willing. And if you look at the very last verse of the chapter, we see after this encounter with the eunuch, it says, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." So whether it was one city, one person, or many cities, he was willing to do according to his opportunity. A man of availability. That's what we need to desire to be. People of availability. We may not be the greatest speaker, may not be the greatest evangelist, may not be the greatest whatever as far as what we might in our mind envision is great. We may not lead thousands to the Lord as presumed that ones like Billy Graham or Billy Sunday or Harry Ironside or whoever these great men of God could be. But are we available to do with what God has where we're at the time being? And so we see this is what we have as we're going through the book. We have a man named Philip. And let's just read to this next opportunity in 8:26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge over all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." That's an encouraging passage to me. I see a lot of things, not only the availability of this man, Philip, how he was willing to go with what opportunity the Lord had, but we saw obviously also an example of someone being led to the Lord. Let's consider this. This man, he was an Ethiopian. I was reading one brother just earlier today, and he said his personal conviction was that this may have been the first African to be saved in the church age. Perhaps so. We see here the eunuch, and then as we move on into chapter 9, we would see Saul of Tarsus being Paul, of course a Hebrew. Chapter 10, we see Cornelius. You know, it's been said before where these three men, it could almost cover the three sons of Noah. You know how Noah had Ham, Japheth, and Shem, and you see how the earth was replenished through that? It's been suggested that perhaps this eunuch would have, from Ethiopia, from Africa, would have been perhaps in the family of Ham, if you search out the genealogies of the sons of Noah. And then, of course, Saul, you see him as from Shem. You see him as a Hebrew. And we see perhaps Cornelius would have been a Gentile from the line of Jacob. A suggestion. Isn't that something as God branched out his word through the world? All people had opportunity to be saved as far as all nations and tongues. So as we see this, it's a good opportunity for this man Philip. This man's also a eunuch, a man that by choice or perhaps by choice was not to be in wedlock. He was a man found in the desert, a lonely place. He was a man of authority. You know, it wasn't satisfying, was it? His situation wasn't satisfying to him. He was still inquiring, wasn't he? He was sitting there reading the Old Testament, inquiring. You know, I like the attitude of Philip. Notice with me here in verse 29. Spirit tells him to join himself. What did Philip do? He said, join yourself to this chariot. He ran. You know, isn't that the heart that we ought to have? We see a lost person. It's like one of the brethren said a while ago, that maybe it's Jeff talking about someone at work, not normally a man to read the Bible. I picture Jeff feeling like, well, we had a break right now, ready to run over there to talk to this man. He's reading the Bible, actually. Well, here's this man. Of course, I assume he didn't know this man, but here he is sitting on a chariot in the Spirit of God and praying him to run to this man. He's got the Word of God. And he preached Christ, not out of Romans, but out of the Old Testament. You know, Isaiah has been said before to be considered like a miniature Bible. Very lengthy. I believe it's the same amount of chapters as the amount of books in the Bible, if I remember. So out of this book that's a gospel nugget in itself, Christ is preached out of Isaiah. It's interesting that the Spirit of God was encouraging Philip to talk to this man. And he had the Word of God. Think with me in John 3 what it says. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Or it also speaks that he cannot see the kingdom of God. Often the water refers to the water of the Word. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God is what works in people's lives, as you see in 1 Peter 1, as we see being born again once again. So we have that here. The Spirit of God is working. The Word of God is available. And we see the man says, how can I understand unless someone guide me? You know, that's encouraging too. The Lord does the saving. But yet he uses people like you and me to point people to the Lord. I've never saved anyone, per se, myself. And I'm sure none of you have. Because the Lord, by his Spirit and his Word, does the saving. But here's a willing vessel to guide him, is what King James said. He said, how can I understand it except some man guide me? Philip just simply pointed him to Christ. The Spirit of God and the Word of God took hold of this man. So what do we have here in Gaza? We see an opportunity for one individual. You know, verse 39 also is a super way to see a closing of this. Philip's gone. But the eunuch, even though he saw him no more, went on his way rejoicing. Now, isn't this the way a normal conversion would be? Someone who's really saved, aren't they going to be just glad of the peace that God's given them? Rejoicing at the knowledge of sins forgiven. Rejoicing that God has called him into the family of God. And he went on his way rejoicing in verse 39. You know, I found also in verse 8, as it mentions how many in Samaria, back in the previous story we read of Philip. Verse 8, it says, and there was great joy in that city. You know, joy does tie in with salvation, doesn't it? I'll give you another one. There's joy in heaven when one soul repents. Joy. Well, I did want to skip over it entirely, but in closing, it's interesting here, just a little word study that's interesting. Verse 39, notice here that, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The word is harzo, I believe, if I said it correctly. Same word in 1 Thessalonians. It means to snatch or to be caught up, speaking of there in the rapture. So we see kind of like an illustrative form of the rapture. Here's Philip. I remember Worth Ellis preaching one time on this and preaching a strong gospel message, and it's like they come out of the water, and it's like the preacher's going to shake his hand, and he's gone. The Lord took him. And that ought to be encouraging, how the Lord could take us out, as it says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, in a twinkling of an eye. You know, we could be like Philip one day if the Lord chooses this generation to be alive at that time. To be snatched right up. That word caught is the same word there. But also, it's interesting that he was willing to be baptized. He was not looking for an excuse. He was saying, well, what would prevent me? You know, today I think maybe that there's always, through the generations and centuries, there's been a lot of confusion over baptism and what have you. But, you know, back in the early church, and I'm sure in countries today, that's a serious thing. You're going to be baptized. Some people take that very seriously. You could be put out of your family, whatever. It's interesting, this man was out by himself. But he had a witness, the Lord saw, and this man Philip was there. I don't know, is there anyone else driving the chariot? But the Lord knows the man was willing to be baptized.
Join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministries.